following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Aren't you grateful for Christian radio, and aren't you glad there's Christian counseling radio? You can call us with questions about anything: anger, grief, gaslighting, relationships, relapses, lapses in judgment. We are here for that and more. This is New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez, and I'll be in the studio for 2 hours today, joined by licensed marriage and family therapist, author Mark Cameron, and another author, Jim Burns, parenting expert and founder of Homeward. Jim's got a new book out. It's available in the newlife.com store. It's called When Your Adult Child Strays. Jim, the subtitle of the book is Trading Heartache for Hope. We get calls all the time at 1-800-229-3000 from parents whose adult children have made choices that blindsided them. How is their hope? Where is the hope?
Yeah. You know, the hope is in the long run. It's not in the short run. And so what happens is we panic. Our kids make a poor choice. Maybe they violate our values. They stray from faith. They call us and say they're moving in with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Or, you know, we find out that they're doing tough stuff. They have addictions. They're smoking pot. They're, you know, doing whatever they do, right? And what a lot of times we do is we panic. We get angry. We tell them how wrong they are and how right we are. And to be honest, we're probably right. But that's not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. What we've got to do is see it in the long run. I have no problem with us saying, here are my concerns. But then we can't be a one-topic parent. So when our adult kids stray, we've got to make sure that we're handing them the passport to adulthood. And as much as we would like to see the changes, the way to change is to stay in the relationship, stay in the story. And when that happens, you know, good things happen. You know, a lot of times we're so afraid that this is going to be for life. Well, especially if they're a little bit younger in the adult, emerging adult world, you know, they sometimes grow up. And I see this in a positive way, and there's great hope in that. In a positive way, I see this when they get married, when they make babies, that they come back. Or, you know, sometimes you just have to embrace the shift and realize that you can still have a very healthy relationship with your adult children, even though they don't vote like you do, or they don't believe everything that you do. So, you know, there's good hope on there, and we've got to stay it. We get the hope by being around people. We get the hope by leaning into God. We don't get the hope by, you know, going into the pit and staying there.
Mm-hmm. The book is called When Your Adult Child Strays. It's available at the newlife.com store. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. What's been the reaction so far?
Great. I'm shocked. I mean, what happened is people are telling me exactly what I'd hoped would happen. They're saying, we are getting hope. It didn't change my child. It's changed me. That was the first thing I got from somebody who read it. I don't know how they read it so fast, because it was like the day it came out on May 5th, and this was like May 6th.
Yeah.
But when they said it didn't change my kid, but it's going to change me, that really, I went, okay, bingo, that got it. It's in parent, in fact, Mark told me this, in the parent and adult category, it was, you know, the number one release, and I'm really, really excited about that.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And that's the point of the book. It's not that you're trying to change your child. It's what happens if your child doesn't want to change.
No, well, and that's actually the point of New Life Live.
That's true.
People call and then change my kid or change my spouse or, you know, whatever. What we need to do first and foremost is change the way we look at things. Our circumstances may not always change, but our attitude can, and that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. And you can't do it alone. You do it with people like us at New Life. You do it with counselors. You do it with your, you know, people who are around you. So your, what I call circle of support.
Yeah. Dr. Jim Burns' book is available in the newlife.com store, so get your copy, or you can also call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you want to talk to Jim about parenting, or if you want to talk to Mark about marriage, family therapy, we've got everything here that you need. We're going to be in the studio for the next 2 hours, so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can call in too. Can't wait to hear from you.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every Man's Battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Getting used to the new setup. Mark and Jim, do you guys like tongue twisters?
Sure.
I love tongue twisters.
Okay.
And I like the new setup too.
Yes, although, yes. Well, the tongue twister has to do... hang on here. this is great. This is live radio.
Hold okay. it like a
stay right
fashion.
There. Don't move. Mike, don't move. Talking to my microphone, not somebody named Mike. Anyway, so here's the tongue twister. How do you like New Life's Live's new look? Five times fast. Go. How do you like New Life Live's new look? I already messed up. How do you like New Life's Live? How do you like New Life Live's new look?
It's great, it's great, it's great, it's great. I cheated.
Is there a prize?
A copy of your book.
Okay, awesome.
Perfect. So yes, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube and you get to see it, it's right behind us here and in front of us and all over us. So tell us what you think. Make sure you like and subscribe to New Life if you're not already part of the social media crew on Facebook, etc. But yeah, this is our new look and we like it. But
I can't wear shorts anymore though, because I think it shows the pants.
Let's see.
I've come in here before.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I'm so at I've the come in here before with my, I started to say just my shirt, but I had real good, nice shorts.
Yes.
But I've got to clean up my act here.
Yes, it's all good though.
Mark always has his act cleaned up, so we can.
So Mark, and your book just came out not too long ago too. Yours is called Understanding Your Attachment Style. And what's the feedback been on your book?
Yeah, really good. As Jim pointed out, I was able to look and see his book hitting some number ones and categories, and my book did the same, and I was astounded by that. But I've had just really good feedback, some good reviews from people just letting me know. And again, it's what Jim's saying, and that's the purpose of my book, is that when Viktor Frankl said, when you can't change the situation, you're challenged to change yourself.
So good.
And so it's really all about our own personal growth, and that's what my book is about, is understanding your attachment style and the ways to grow and to secure attachment and what the individual needs to do for that. And as you become more secure, you learn more secure responses, and you learn how to hold and set and hold healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good. I love his book, by the way.
Yes.
You know, it the reason it's getting great response is because it's a really good book. I've told people recently that I passed it out and said, this is the book that I think I've gotten the most out of in the last several months.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
Yeah. So two great books for you guys to look at in the newlife.com store. I don't want to say the word checkout because it makes it sound like it's a library and you can just return it in 2 or 3 weeks in good condition, but that's not how it works. So purchase the books, several resources there at newlife.com, but the two newest ones are Dr. Jim Burns's book that's just 2 weeks hot off the presses. It's called When Your Adult Child Strays, and Mark Cameron's book, Understanding Your Attachment Style. Check that all out at newlife.com in the store. And a new episode of the Every Man's Battle podcast dropped today, and it's one you'll want to share, and you'll want to hear it too. JJ and Doug wrap up their series on using technology safely while in recovery, discussing the heart beneath your screen habits. They explain why the real battle is about desire, story, and community, not just discipline, and how authentic brotherhood helps heal the wounds that drive you to your phone or laptop in the first place. You can find today's episode at newlife.com, on our YouTube channel and app, or wherever you get your podcasts, and catch up on everything you may have missed. And guys, our next Everyman's Battle intensive begins in less than 3 weeks. You can get all the details at newlife.com/EMB. If you sign up by this Friday, you'll get a discount. So something that I just mentioned right now, the wounds that drive you to your phone or laptop in the first place. Can we talk about that for a little bit? Because we think sometimes we just pick up our phone just to scroll through social media or whatever. But there's something a little deeper in there, would you say?
Absolutely. And I think when people scroll, you know, there's actually a dopamine drop. And what that is a pleasure hormone that kind of comes from your brain and drops in to your head. And so when they scroll, they're doing that partly, I think, sometimes out of loneliness, sometimes they're scrolling because they're desperate to find answers. But, you know, the fact is there's probably better ways to do it. And that's why we have New Life. That's why people can call us. That's why we have friends. And that's why we need to go get coffee with our friends and not be in our, you know, our home alone all the time. That's why we need the trust of people in the church that we can talk to. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the internet is great, but I don't trust the internet with I use the internet every day, obviously, but I don't trust every piece of advice. I don't trust every quote unquote expert. So I think you got to be careful with what you do with that.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I think people scroll when they feel anxious. I know I do that sometimes when I want to be distracted. If you walk into a room, it's a waiting room or something like that, and you're sitting down, sometimes I'll get out my phone and I'll start to scroll because I'm not sure what to do in this moment. And even though it's called social media, it actually isolates us, because if I didn't have my phone, I would most likely be talking to the person next to me.
Yes.
And we'd be engaging.
Right.
And so I think people use it very much as a distraction when they feel anxious.
No, I think so too. You know, I was doing a seminar Saturday in New York, and I walked into the room and there's all these people and it was really quiet. And usually seminars, people are talking and, you know, there's a lot of energy. And I realized everybody was on their phone. It was a Saturday morning. They were on their phones. And I was talking on creating a media safe home for your kids, right?
That's funny.
But here were the parents scrolling and looking and, you know, checking out things. Yeah. I thought, how interesting. But there wasn't energy. Now, at the breaks, there was energy because they were off their phones. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Well, and it also blocks connection in the sense of, if I see you looking like you're really engaged in your phone, I'm hesitant to talk to you because I don't want to distract you.
Right. Yes. Yeah, very true. The society we live in nowadays, you can see two people sitting at a table at a coffee shop or a dinner, and they're just looking at their phone the whole time. It's like, how do you guys interact at all?
No, you see that with couples. They're on date night and they're both on their phones.
Yes.
One time I took a picture of that and my wife was so frustrated with me because she goes, what are you doing? I said, well, I was taking a picture of both of them on the phone. I think that's a great thing. Maybe I can show it one time at one of my marriage conferences.
Yes.
She goes, don't go there. You didn't get permission. people do it, but you set your phone down.
Yes, of course.
You weren't scrolling. You were taking a photo. So here I got in trouble.
All right, so give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. Mark and Jim are going to be here for the next, the rest of this hour and all of next. Let's take a call right now. Here is Maria in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on newlife.com. Hi there, Maria. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hello there. Thank you. Thank you very much. I guess I'm just supposed to tell you our question or my question.
Yeah, tell us your main question and then we'll kind of pick at it from there.
Okay. My granddaughter, who recently turned 13, we found out, I guess, at school she got a citation for vaping marijuana. Mm. And then the night before court, she cut her wrist and, you know, went to the ER, then was discharged to come home. And then when she was supposed to go back to school, she was not supposed to have any social media, her phone, but she became violent and has threatened to cut her mom's throat. and she can't have her phone.
Wow.
And then ultimately, yeah. And then, of course, when you look in her phone, there's evidence of where, I guess you would call it, where she's been solicited, you know, like sexually by grown-ups or whatever. And then anyway, she became violent when she was supposed to go back to school last Monday, and that's when she became violent with her mom. And her mom took her to the mental health facility, and that's where they were doing an evaluation, which they're discharging her this Wednesday. And I don't think there's been any progress made. So we need a resource for her to go to get hopefully Christian help in an inpatient setting and before she comes back home.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever resources you guys might know of.
All right. What would you guys say?
Well, first of all, I'd say your family's doing the right thing. She got an assessment. She's still in. Is she in the hospital? Is that where she is? Is that what happened? Or where is she right now?
When she went to the ER on the 5th, she came home that night. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, everything was, I'm her grandma, so I went there and stayed. And then when she went to go back to school Monday, and she couldn't have her cell phone or the vape, and she became violent. And that's when my daughter basically tricked her and took her to the mental health hospital.
Got it, okay.
Where they admitted her for evaluation, and she's still there now.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Actually, that's what you do in this situation. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying there's an easy fix, but you want to have the evaluation. Typically, she's going to walk out of that evaluation with somewhat of a plan. And depending on, you know, the facility and what they do, but they're not going to just let her go. They're going to probably have a plan. They'll probably meet with your daughter, and you may be able to be invited to that too, if that works out with the family, because she's a minor, and depends on what your daughter wants. But part of that plan, would be to go, and she's gonna need some help walking through that process. And there's two avenues. One is she gets some counseling. That's a given. Two, if that counselor believes it, or if the discharge people think that she should go to inpatient, there are some really excellent Christian facilities for kids. None of them are easy, and none of them are good, because, you know, all the other kids are struggling with some of that same stuff. So don't think that it's going to be this quick fix. But, you know, I've seen those kinds of facilities. She's really young for that. But I've seen those kind of facilities be very, very good. And they're doing what she's doing. Yeah, they're vaping, they're cutting. When a middle schooler her age, screams and shouts and says, "I'm going to do this to her mom," you got to make sure you're evaluating and assessing that. Was that true, or is it that's just how she copes with her pain and stress? Because a lot of times when you talk about even cutting, you know, that's how she's dealing with her pain, whatever that pain is. So you got to get to the root of it. There's a reason for it, and that's why it would either be inpatient or a counselor. But I'd find out what the plan is. So they're going to give you guys a plan as they walk out, you know, in terms of what you can do and different options. Now, because you're looking for Christian input, there's some great Christian input inpatient around you.
If I might interject something now, that's part of why I guess I'm calling you guys, is they honestly haven't been very. They were supposed to do a drug test, give some, you know, feedback on that, haven't gotten that. And honestly, they haven't given a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And they just basically call my daughter, and I heard, you know, I was on the back line. They're just telling her she's being discharged Wednesday, and my daughter's like, "I don't really feel comfortable with her coming home right now."
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went back and just told Jada that. And Jada called her mom and blessed her out.
Sure.
And then Nikki asked, my daughter asked, what are her options? And they said if she doesn't come home, then they would send her to the social work, DC, you know, whatever, the DHR.
Hmm.
Like, she would, I guess she'd go to the state's custody is basically what they said, which didn't sound like a good option to me.
No. I mean, there are better options. I'm surprised that they wouldn't be. Again, they might be in the middle of this, looking at it, evaluating. Mark, you think? Because they're going to do something on Wednesday, unless this is the world's worst, no offense, but the world's worst, you know, mental health facility for a young person.
Well, she's in the hospital. Is that right, Maria?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in the mental health facility being evaluated.
Yeah, and so those facilities are really short term. They're really just meant to stabilize.
Yes.
They're not meant for long term care, and then they're meant to pass on. And so usually you should have a social worker or someone there to help you coordinate that care. But I've got a couple of questions for you, because this is a kid in distress. She's giving a fight or flight reaction. She's getting violent, or she's wanting to cut herself to get away. So you can hear the music. We're about to go to a break, but I got two questions for you. The first question is, sure, who is she closest to in the family? And the second question is, what are the stresses in this kid's life? I want to hear more about that, because then I think I have an answer for you.
Okay, yeah. So we'll come back in just a few minutes. Maria, thanks for calling in today to 1-800-229-3000. We're going to get you some help for your granddaughter. And if everybody watching and listening can be in prayer for Maria's granddaughter, that would be great for that whole family situation. I mean, for mom to take away her phone and she threatens, to slit her. I mean, that's just, we were just talking about the addiction and everything with the cell phone. So when somebody takes it away from you, you want to just respond like that. But we'll be back at 1-800-229-3000.
90% of Christians have trouble with sex, have trouble with marriage, have trouble with communicating, because we were not ever taught practical, basic things about intimacy, about marriage, about sex. We did a huge disservice to ourselves.
When you come to intimacy in marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
They taught us a ton of skills about connecting, about how to really help each other to feel seen and heard.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is July 24th through the 26th in Washington, D.C. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I think if everyone came earlier rather than later, they could save themselves years of misery and misunderstanding.
Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Parenting, family, marital issues, relationship issues, we can help you today here at New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. We're going to be here all of this hour and all of next. If you want to call in but you're afraid to use your real name or something, just change your name. We don't need to know your real name on the show, but we want you to get the help you need. So if that means you using a different name or a different location, we're okay with that. Just call 1-800-229-3000. Back to Maria. You still with us, Maria?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Mark asked you a couple of questions before the break. What were those questions for anyone just
joining us? Yeah, who is she closest to in the family, and what are the stresses in her life right now?
I would say she's closest to her mother. Mm-hmm. And stressors, she's got a great personality, but she's very pretty, but she's very developed. She looks like an 18-year-old, but she's 13. Mm-hmm. And in terms of stressors, the thing that she will get the most angry about is, the phone. And even when she was little, she would take her great-grandmother's phone, and, you know, we would, you know, we saw where she was going to those Instagram or where it disappears, and took the phone away. But she would, honestly, well, she'd get my mom, which is her great-grandma, to give it back to her, and then we'd take it away again. So she's been, and that's when she would cut, she would, back then, she would cut herself, and she tells her mom sometimes, you know, she doesn't, you know, that she's bad or she doesn't deserve, like she feels bad about herself, I guess is how you would say it.
Where's Dad in the picture?
Dad, as far as I know, I mean, I met him, of course, I knew him, you know, she's 13 when she was a baby, when they were pregnant, and they never got married. He's in jail now, I'm not sure what for. I think it was maybe some kind of theft or receiving stolen property. But he's not around. He wasn't like a bad person, but he obviously wasn't real smart. Trying to think what else.
Yeah, I think there's more stresses going on in this kid's life than you realize. This is a kid who doesn't know how to keep herself safe. So she's probably feeling unsafe. She's reaching out to, you know, men who are much older than her. She feels out of control. She feels disconnected. Social media is supposed to be connecting you, but it actually disconnects us. We were talking about that earlier. It disconnects us from the people right in front of us. And this kid's in an anxious state of panic. And so, you know, yes, you're right in the sense when she's making these extreme comments and these extreme gestures, you're going to want to seek help for stabilization. But when we need to remember that when we put kids in a hospital, even though the mental health providers are safe, they're strangers. And it's very difficult to bond and connect and feel safe with a stranger. When a parent typically calls me and says, hey, I need help with my son or my daughter, can you help them? I often will say to them, why don't you come in? Because if your kid came in, my goal would be to get them to bond with you. So why don't you come in, you tell me what's going on, and we'll work on some strategies to see how I can get your son or your daughter to bond with you. And I think that mom, and maybe you too, involved in family therapy, need to be getting some help too. Need to be getting some skills so that you can learn to have a conversation with this kid and say, hey, you're in a hyper state of distress. I'm so sorry that this is going on. What can we do to help here? What are you stressed out about? Because she's learning to go to social media to find this comfort, which she's ultimately not going to get. And she really needs to learn to find that with you, with whoever are the closest people in her life to her. So I understand that there is this panic. Sometimes we get so caught up in the clinical plan, well, what is next and what is the diagnosis and what is going to be the treatment? And sometimes we forget that it's learning how do we connect with one another, because teens are going to have stresses in their lives. When they're 13 years old, kids are going through something called neuropruning, where their brain's getting rid of information that it thinks it doesn't need to make space for new information. And there is a real pull away from a parent. There's this push-pull that happens that they need their parents, but they need to push away too to learn where they're at in this world. But it's a 10-year process for kids to really learn how to leave the nest and be independent by themselves. And so they need their parents there. And I think you do need help. But I think the book How We Love Our Kids would be a really good resource, a really good place for you to start to learn how do we learn how to have these conversations with our daughter, with our granddaughter.
How We Love Our Kids, that's a great resource by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich. It's available in the newlife.com store. You guys know the book better than I do. What are some key maybe chapters or something that she'll want to focus on?
Well, it's all fantastic, but you know, parenting is about the parent. And so it focuses on what's the attachment style of the parent and how's that impacting the attachment style of the kid? And how do we learn secure bonding, secure attachment? How do we learn how to do something called the comfort circle to engage a child in a conversation, to understand the emotions that's going on inside so that we can contain, so that we can soothe, so that we can comfort, and we can help supply the corresponding need. And when you do that, that's how connection, that's how comfort and bonding occurs.
Yeah. Maria, get that book. It's in the newlife.com store. Thank you so much for calling in today to New Life Live at 1-800-229-3000. Brian Perez here with Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron. We're going to be in the studio for the rest of this hour and all of next. So call in with whatever questions we can help you with. 1-800-229-3000. Kay, we'll talk to you when we come back.
There's a place where real healing begins, where truth meets grace, and where transformation starts. New Life Recovery Groups offers a Christ-centered, supportive community for growth, healing, and restoration. Built on a proven 12-step foundation and grounded in biblical truth, these groups help bring clarity, accountability, and lasting hope for those who are ready for change. And when deeper personal guidance is needed, one-on-one coaching and counseling are available, walking with you every step of the way. Here, lives are renewed, stories are rewritten, and hope is restored. You're not alone. You're not judged. You're welcomed into a community that believes God is still at work in your story. Take the next step toward healing. Join a New Life Recovery Group today, online or in person. Visit newlife.com/groups or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find healing. Find community. Find new life. For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Remember, here on New Life Live, we don't necessarily have a topic that we talk about for an hour. You guys choose the topic when you call in. What is it that you're going through? Maybe a family member, maybe somebody at church that you spoke with this past Sunday, and they kind of poured their heart out to you, and you're wondering what resources are available. Well, you can call in or have them call in to 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be in the studio for this hour and all of next with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns, 1-800-229-3000. And every day, people reach out to New Life looking for hope, guidance, and a way forward. Today, you have the opportunity to meet that need in a doubly powerful way. Through a $250,000 matching gift, your gift will be doubled, touching twice as many lives. Double your impact by giving at newlife.com/match, by texting the word match to 28950, or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you for your generosity, which truly changes lives. And right now it can change twice as many lives. Thank you for whatever you can do. Let's talk to Kay in Stafford, listening on WAVA. Welcome, Kay, to New Life Live. How can we help you today? What's going on?
Thank you. So I'm calling to get some insight. My husband is in rehab, second time now. We've been married for 2 years, separated for one full year, and I have two children. It's his stepchildren. They're both under the age of 8 years old, and in rehab, he was recently diagnosed with bipolar 1, and I do not think it's a great idea for him to come back into the household. Based on our first year experience as well as just the diagnosis and the substance abuse issues, and I wanted to get some insight on that because I want to do the biblical thing by staying married, but I don't feel that it's safe and stable for the children to welcome that situation back into their environment.
How old are the children?
Seven, and 5.
What's unsafe, Kay?
Well, based on what I experienced, the mood, the anger, and then just knowing that there was something going on, the substance abuse, I couldn't tell, basically, but once he admitted to, like, a minor usage of something, that's when I decided we needed to separate. And so it went full-blown after that, over a year period. It got, you know, got real bad, and then he finally decided to go to rehab. But I'm still also very much feeling the effects of what I experienced, like walking on eggshells daily while we were living together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you did the right thing. I mean, these kids are very young, and an adult, especially adult males, mood swings and anger can be very scary to a 7 and a 5-year-old. And we get to pick who we live with, but kids don't get to pick who they live with. And so the first,
right,
I think the first priority, even though you're married, is to protect your kids because they're so young here. Now, the good thing is that you got a diagnosis here, bipolar disorder. So that can make sense of these manic behaviors, impulse control, inability, substance abuse use. Now, is he on medication, like a mood stabilizer or an antidepressant tackle this?
Yes.
Okay.
He's on medication and he's still in rehab and then he's into a sober facility soon.
Okay. So what I would advise here is more of a wait and watch. So you wait and you see, how is he progressing in his recovery? Is he going to stay consistent on the medication? Oftentimes people who have bipolar disorder, they can stop taking the medication because they feel so good, because they have these manic episodes. And so you need to see, is he going to be consistent on this medication? What is his mood stabilization like on this medication? Does it need to be tweaked to find the right dosage, to find maybe even the right medication here? And then also, what steps is he taking toward recovery, toward anger management, which may resolve once his mood gets stabilized, but also then toward sobriety? And so I think that's where, if he's still in rehab and he's about to come out of that, does he have a resource or a place for him to go land while he continues his recovery?
So he's headed to a sober living, and then after that, they will help him find employment, which I would advise him to try to find somewhere to rent or something, because I just don't. I physically still feel nervous. Is it the thought of, like, reuniting under the same roof?
Mm-hmm. So your question really is, are you doing the right thing?
Yes. I feel like I'm doing the right thing for the children, but the biblical aspect of staying married and not getting divorced but still not feeling like you want to be in the same household with that person for very legitimate reasons, like, it's all very confusing to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. But that makes sense. And I think you're still in the recovery process to see what is he willing to do and how much is he willing to seek help. But I think you're in the right, you're doing the right thing for right now from what it sounds like.
Dr. Jim, what would you advise?
I'm with you. Did you marry? You married an addict, is what you're saying in some ways.
Yes. You
didn't know it.
But
but he was an addict. And of course, obviously, you didn't know he had bipolar. So, he's in the right place. For regardless of what happens, he's in the right place, because we can't work on a relationship when an addict is still in full-on addiction. It doesn't work. You got to help them get through that. So what Mark is saying, you know, if the medication is working and if he's working on his program and you see this, so I would say don't rush it. But what I mean is don't rush it either way. Don't rush back into a relationship. I hear you not wanting that, and I think that's great. But I also wouldn't rush going to the divorce or getting involved in, say, another relationship or things like that, because that's only going to kind of, you know, mess the deal up. So time will tell, and time will even tell. You've had a really tough 2 years. Wow. You know, my goodness. You got married. He's been in rehab twice. You've been separated for a year of that. So, you know, now's the time to you know, I think Mark used the word wait. You know, this is kind of the wait, look and see. And, you know, I think you're asking what's the biblical answer on that. It's a really tough one because, you know, you ask, you know, 19 pastors what they think, and you're going to have maybe 19 different answers. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm a pastor, so I'm not saying that in a bad way. But, you know, what you want to do is really clearly seek out, you know, clarification for yourself, like what you're doing with us. But, you know, and so if you're asking, do you have biblical grounds, because did he ever, in the process of his addiction, commit adultery or anything like that?
He said no, but he's also lied so many times. I don't know how far this thing has taken him, so sure.
I understand. You know, because sometimes there's going to be some pastors saying, if he didn't commit adultery, you know, whatever. There's other issues involved in this. You know, I'm on a little bit different level than on that in terms of the biblical grounds. But I think you'll get clarity. And have you talked to your own pastor at your own church about this at all?
No, we were in therapy with a minister at the church, uh-huh. and that kind of waned a little bit, but he went to rehab, so, you know, now we're not kind of therapy.
No, I get it.
I am in therapy, and I did join Narcanon or something like that, and I'm going to try to go through the meetings, but my body is still reacting to the thought of any kind of reunification.
No, I hear that. You know, in some ways, your body and your mind right now is telling you to not jump into that. I'd go with your heart on that. I would make sure that you get wise counsel. And so, you know, you were in therapy with somebody at your church. You know, you may want to, and I think being in a program is a good thing, period. I mean, it's funny because I don't have any background in alcoholism, but I went through the 12 steps with a small group a number of years ago. It was one of the greatest spiritual things I've ever done. And, you know, none of us had a addiction issue, but we had, you know, we sure had our sinfulness. And it was really good. So even you learning that will be great for you for the future. It'll also help you understand, so why did I marry this guy? What was that all about? You know, was there a rebound?
Oh, yeah,
was there,
I reconciled that. I know. Yeah, but, I've been there.
Yeah, but I think, you know, just the word for me is don't rush it. Don't rush it in terms of getting a divorce. Don't rush it in terms of jumping back into it until you have better discernment. And time will help you understand.
Yeah, and I know you've been separated for 1 year, so that can feel like a long time. But he's just now getting out of rehab. So I think that, in a sense, starts a clock to say, okay, now you've got a diagnosis, you've got some help, you're getting out of rehab. What happens next? And I tend to guide people to look at things in 6 month increments, because you can't really assess sustained change for any less amount of time than that, I think. So I would consider thinking about what would you hope to see in 6 months, and maybe communicate that over to him. Yeah. And then in 6 months' time, you evaluate where are we at toward these goals of being safe.
Yeah. Bingo. That's what you do.
Six-month time frame. I like it. Kay, thanks for calling us. There's a couple of articles on newlife.com that we're going to drop links in the show notes there. Understanding and loving a family member with alcohol or drug addiction. Also, 4 tough love tips, how to help a loved one with alcohol or drug addiction. Thanks for calling us today. Tammy, you're next.
What a New Life course is it's around a topic led by a professional, licensed counselor, coach, with a small group of 8 or 9 people on a weekly Zoom call. You're going to go through the information, but also connect as a group. Those group processes make all the difference in the world. And so we have created New Life courses so that you can experience that on a weekly basis. Every week you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us. So you can sign up right away. With 8 or 9 slots open, they're going to go quick. And so you want to call today and get registered.
Begin your transformation May 4th with a New Life course. Lose it for life, take your life back, or healing is a choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the 1 partner initiative. Every day, we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/9941.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So many people talking about mental health awareness this month, and that's good. But here at New Life, we focus on mental health every day, 12 months a year. A great way you can help support Mental Health Awareness Month is to share New Life Live with your friends, your family, anybody that you come in contact with. Just tell them to go to newlife.com for some Christ-centered resources designed to foster a healthy mental state. You can also give them our phone number because we're going to be in the studio for another hour to serve you at 1-800-229-3000. Here is Tammy, who is listening to us on Sirius XM channel 131. Welcome, Tammy, to New Life Live.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
My situation is I have a 15-year-old. I know you were talking about social media addiction, but she has anxiety, depression. I believe she has selective mutism. And she has post-traumatic stress. And my ex-husband, he was very narcissistic. So she suffered like 14 years of that sort of toxic behaviors before the judge finally said that she does not have to see him anymore. So now I'm just wondering, she does see a psychiatrist, she is getting medication, and she does go to therapy once a week. So I'm just wondering what else I could do that would be, you know, helpful for her. She really doesn't leave the house. I don't think she really enjoys school, but she does go and she does get good grades. Mm. She just doesn't seem to have a happy like life, because it's either when she's home, she's on the computer.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all she does. So I'm not sure, you know, what I should be doing at this point.
That's the thing about phone addiction too, and these things is they don't get out and play or right. get out into nature or anything, and mm-hmm. they're fine with that.
Well, you know, the most recent with 15-year-olds, mm-hmm. the most recent thought that just freaked me out is that for a majority of 14 and 15 year olds, they spend less time outside than prisoners do.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, you know, Tammy's telling us something that is so prevalent today.
Yeah. Have you heard that before, Tammy? Is that why you agreed?
Oh, yeah, because I've done research mm-hmm. on the addiction of social media, and it actually harms the brain. Mm. It causes brain damage because, you know, it's like you're addictive. Someone who's like a gambler or addicted to drugs, it's kind of the same type of damage that happens.
Tammy, I got a couple of thoughts. One is, you know, it's great that you have her with a psychiatrist, you know, and a psychiatrist is going to put out some medication that might help her anxiety and depression. You obviously don't want her to probably be on that for the rest of her life because it may be caused by even the social media thing. I've got a couple things on the right. social media, and then I'll let Mark talk about it. But first of all, with social media, what we find with 14, 15-year-olds is that we have to make sure that we are monitoring the amount of time. So you're not her best friend. And so as a parent, you're going to have set some boundaries, and she's not going to like it if you haven't been setting time boundaries. At Homeward, where I work, we are saying to parents for 15-year-olds that it shouldn't be over 2 hours a day. Now, interesting enough, they're doing schoolwork online too. I'm not talking about that. But we're suggesting that you monitor, that they monitor the, that you monitor just the amount of time, or it gets, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you can't eat one Lay's potato chip while she's online, just kind of goofing off and doing whatever she's doing. But that's not helpful. And the other thing I would say, that I, so it's, I think you monitor a time, and you know, we're saying 2 hours, other people are saying less, some people say more, you know, whatever. But you know, she's, the average kid is on way more than 2 hours. So the other thing I would, so again, I'm, she's not going to come and say, "Mom, thank you, that's amazing." What she's going to say is, "You're the meanest mom I've ever heard, but you're mom, so you have the authority. You know, I'm so sorry, if I was your age, this is how I would feel. Nevertheless, this is kind of our new rule for the next 6 months." I'm using your thing from last time. But you know, that's what you do, and you see how that goes. Secondly, and if she misses, then there's consequences. If she does okay, then yeah, great. You know, I mean, award that with saying, "Hey, we're going to go 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 15. The other thing I would say is because she's going to school, I would encourage her for extracurricular activities. I find that kids who get involved in a church youth group at 15, you know, they're interacting. They want to go. They're not going just for deep Bible study, although I wish when my kids were 15, that's what they did. But they went because, you know, they were fun kids and there were some games and they had fun and they laughed and whatnot. So I would encourage her to go to a, you know, to a, like a church youth group. And even if she doesn't have friends who go, then, you know, find somebody. I mean, she can invite a friend to one of those kind of things. Tell the youth worker, say to the youth worker, you know what, she's been a little shy. She's not really been involved. She's been staying home a lot. And let them know. They'll, a lot of times, just something like that can be amazingly transforming to them, because she needs to be around kids, other kids.
But what if these other kids are on their phones too?
Well, they are. I mean, they are. I just Saturday I was talking on this subject, and I told them a story. I was in Richmond, Virginia. I said, 800 kids. I said, "How many of you believe it's possible to be addicted to social media?" Every kid put their hands up.
Yeah.
Okay. I go, "How many of you are?" All but two. And they had phones in front of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm laughing about that, but when you look at something like Tammy's daughter, Tammy, you know, what you want to do is help her get through this. And it is an addiction. You know, there's a guy named Nicholas Cardarius, and he's the kind of the main brain, you know, thought leader. And Cardarius says, you know, the problem with digital addiction is that it's still untested territory, where we understand so much more about, you know, drug and alcohol addiction, or even porn addiction, things like that. But when it comes to digital, we don't know. So we don't know what this next generation of kids are going to do. But we see them a lot with, like you talked about, the PTSD would be more what happened probably with her dad. But, you know, the depression and anxiety, that's a natural response to a lot of kids who are on social media. So as a mom, you have to say, wait, she's self-soothing whatever is going on with that, with her addiction. Yeah. And what you want to do is help her lose some of it by just simply putting some boundaries around it. And again, you're not going to get Mom of the Year from her. You're going to get Mom of the Year from us and your other mother friends if you do that. Because they're in the same place. A lot of the other moms, you know, that you're engaging with are in the same place.
Anybody watching or listening who couldn't keep up with what you said, Cardarian? Keeping up with the Cardarian?
Yeah. Is that what the, not Kardashian.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Nicholas Cardarian is doing some great work in the secular world on brain and digital. This is what, I mean, my PhD is in adolescence, so I think all the time about these adolescents. And some of these people are doing some great breakthrough work on how, and Tammy knows some of this, but just how social media is affecting kids, and it's not all good.
Mark, any thoughts
before we go? So just, you know, like you were saying here, Jim, is most kids can recognize that they are addicted, but they don't know how to stop the addiction. And so they don't know how to self-monitor. And so we need to be, as the parent, the person who monitors. And it can't just be down to them like, "Oh, okay, well, just make sure that you're not on your phone for more than 2 hours a day." We need to put structures in place. We need to either take their phone from them, or there's certain apps that are out there. I used an app. It was really a VPN router that limited my kids' time on their devices. Mm-hmm. It would just shut it off. It would just turn it off once it reached that limit for them. So I'm also hearing from you, Tammy, that you said that she has selective mutism. Does that mean that she sometimes talks to you and she doesn't talk to you sometimes?
Oh, interesting. Unfortunately, we don't have time to continue our conversation with Tammy because we've run out of time. But we're going to be in the studio for another hour. So keep calling us at 1-800-229-3000. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.